reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master replied, You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I do not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Lord God, I pray your blessing upon this reading. Help us to understand the message for us today. Amen. Well, for some reason, I always find it difficult to start a message right after I've read the statement, throw him into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Kind of a downer, don't you think? That was a joke, Kylie. She smiled for me. Well, particularly on the Sunday before Thanksgiving, right? We're supposed to be happy and giving thanks and counting our blessings. It's a time when we should be singing praises to the Lord. And I've shared with you before that the Gospel of Matthew is like this. Matthew is the only gospel writer to use words like this, but he uses them on more than one occasion. And you'll find frequent references in Matthew to things like the end times, about judgment, and even hell, which is what I believe the outer darkness is meant to represent today. Well, last week I mentioned briefly this story of the talents and about how God has blessed each of us with certain abilities or gifts and expects us to use those gifts willingly in service to God, to the kingdom. And that would make for a much easier message this morning. But you know me, I don't take the easy route. I could talk about some of you, though, and the wonderful talents that you have and that I've observed and how you use those talents. People willing to use their leadership and organizational skills, people willing to use their musical talent, or even the behind-the-scenes folks that focus on keeping our building looking so nice and doing repairs when needed. And it would be impossible for me to cover all the talents represented in this body of Christ. But I want to assure you that you are truly a blessing to this church and to me personally. But maybe it's not a bad thing for us to stop and consider the idea of judgment now and again. First off, as human beings, we're pretty good at judging, aren't we? Judging others in particular. Even though the scripture tells us to be very careful about judging others, it seems that we're all pretty adept at drawing conclusions and jumping to an assumption or making an assumption based on just a few interactions or observations. And we conclude what we think of someone pretty quickly. But you know, we can be pretty sure that we are being judged just as quickly by the people watching us. Reverend Will Willimon writes, "You are already every day subjected to the judgments of other people. Some people judge that you are lazy, that you are difficult to deal with, that you are untrustworthy or proud. Jesus says that one day you will be judged not by other people, not judged on the basis of human standards of righteousness or success, but you will be judged by the one who gave you life and who gave you his life for you. That judge is Jesus Christ." But this is where we come to the part where we can be thankful for what we have been given, and that is the gift of life. Our very lives are a gift from God, along with our talents, our lives, our breath, our spirit. All of those things are precious gifts. And this gift of life is pretty special. For instance, think about the gifts that you receive that mean the most to you. For me, it's those personal gifts, the ones where others have given of something of themselves, taken the time to invest in putting something together and given it to me out of love. Last week, I received one of the Quilts of Valor, and that's a gift I will always cherish. Since I've watched Terry do quilting over the years, I have some idea of the time and the effort that goes into preparing a quilt, all the measuring and cutting and sewing. I've even learned terms I had no idea, like batting. I thought that was a baseball term. It's not. And then after my recent knee surgery, I received, I can't tell you how many cards, phone calls, emails, just notes telling me to get well and letting people know that they were praying for me and caring for me. And that was a wonderful feeling. I'm sure you've had that happen to you as well. But I've got to share with you, the cards that I enjoyed the most came in a plain manila envelope that was left on the back porch one day. And inside that were several pieces of paper, just plain white paper. But the children in the before and after school care program had taken the time to each of them write me a card and tell me how much they loved me and to draw me a little picture. You know, I like to give them cookies and brownies, so that was on some of the pictures. But it just said simply, "Pastor Dave, we love you, get better." And that meant so much to me. I kept those cards. They did the same thing when I had to put Allie down, my dog. And they had little tears drawn on my face, you know. Those are pretty special. And I'm guessing that many of you have at home cards just like those, perhaps taped to your refrigerator. Notes and pictures drawn by your children or your grandchildren, perhaps. And I wanted to tell you that I believe God's gift of life is like one of those gifts that means so much to us. It's something special and unique, something that God pours himself into, and something that we can appreciate and know that God is invested in us, that we're important. God loves us so much and wants us to know that our lives are not wasted. They count for something. And what we do with the time we have is important to God and should be very important to us. One of the ways God tells us that our lives are important, and listen carefully, is by promising to hold us accountable. Have you ever noticed the people that take time to hold you accountable are people that love you and care for you? If they don't care, they just kind of blow you off. Christ tells us, and the scripture confirms it, that one day we are going to be asked to give an account for the life we've been given. We will be asked a similar question to the one that the property owner asked his slaves when he returned. What have you done with what you have been given? And we're going to be hoping that in spite of all the ways that we may have disappointed God, we will hear these words: "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master." While we may not think it's good news, the fact that we will face judgment, I believe, is good news. If our lives were irrelevant and didn't matter, why would Jesus promise to hold us accountable? But when we leave this church today and go back into our individual lives and into our worlds, know this, that what we say, what we do, how we act makes a difference. God is somehow working through us to work God's good intentions for the world. It's relying upon us. Yes, there's a lot of evil in the world. Certainly we see enough of that. But you know, God did not intend evil to be the power of this world. He intended good. And you are the vehicles of good. So whether God has blessed you with one talent or a dozen talents, all of them can be used for God in this world. We have everything we need. And someday I hope we get to stand before God and say, "Lord, here's what I've done with what you have given me." This is what I believe is one of the key messages of the parable today. But there's more than one message in this parable, I think. The story is about a master that leaves for a lengthy period of time and leaves behind his wealth, not just some of it, but from the sound of it, he leaves most of it or even all of it. As I described last week, a talent is a unit of weight, and it represents a significant amount of gold or silver. I think I said something like 84.5 pounds of gold or silver. So even one talent would have been much more than a person could make in a lifetime, a common person. And oddly enough, the master gives this wealth to his slaves or his servants without instruction. Now that's trust. He left it to his servants to figure out what his wishes were. As I thought about this, I thought about our time, where we live now. We live kind of in that middle period between the time when Christ came and died and was resurrected and ascended into heaven and before Christ comes again. It's almost as if the Master has left us for a long period of time. And I thought about this in the absence of Christ and the absence of the Master, and thought of that as a metaphor, which makes us something very special. It means that we are the servants. We are the ones left to discern what God's will is for us and how to use and invest those talents that we've been given. And the servants that were rewarded were those that were willing to take some risks, to invest the master's gifts, to multiply the value of those gifts. We just spoke about some of those gifts, didn't we, that God has given us: our very lives, our abilities, and the good news of Jesus Christ. These are the talents that have been entrusted to us, his servants. And if that be the case, then maybe we need to be willing to take a few more risks, to spend those talents and use those talents. For us as a church, I believe it means getting out of our comfort zone a little bit. Janie, she goes off to Guatemala. That's a good one. Maybe some other comfort zones need to be violated. Maybe we need to try to find new ways to reach people in our communities for Christ. Be willing to try some new ministries, or maybe even give up on some old ones that aren't as effective. And then on an individual level, it means living out and sharing our faith openly, not just in church on Sunday, but in our workplaces, in the places we travel, the people we see, whether it be a casual acquaintance or their dearest of friends. Talking to our friends and neighbors, extending a welcoming hand to them, showing people through our hospitality that their lives are indeed important. Well, finally, whenever I talk about the importance of our actions and performing good works, I always like to be careful and offer a disclaimer, because it's not what we do, it's not our good works that save us, is it? One of the other key tenets of our faith is that our salvation itself is a free gift of God and is not a condition of the things that we do, the good works. There is this tension that exists throughout the New Testament between this promise of salvation by grace and the importance of doing good works. And we need to remember that it is a tension. Romans 10:9 promises us that if we confess with our mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. So this week, many of us are going to be with our families, enjoying this time of year of thankfulness, gathering before the feast. I love to eat, and I love Thanksgiving, because there's not just one pie, there's multiple pies on Thanksgiving, and I like pie. But when we bow to pray, and I'd ask you to pray before your meal, remember this blessing that we have been given, this gift of life, this gift of Jesus Christ, and this gift of the good news. We have received them from our Master. Let us go now and do Christ's good work in this world. Amen. Lord God, I just thank you for this season of giving thanks. Lord, as your followers, as believers of Jesus Christ, and we should be thankful all the year long, and we know that. But life sure catches up with us sometimes and brings us down, and that's why we need each other. That's why we need to come to this place each week, for encouragement and strength, and for the reassurance, Lord, that you do exist and that you love us. Lord, we claim these promises and hold close to you. Amen.